thing I've never done before. And that was to record an audio book. And by the way, talk about the goodness of God and international things. I mean, I look at how the books have been translated now into different languages. And God did all of that, you know, and it's like he made it happen in his way with his vision. But I want to thank you again for praying for me this past week. You may remember I lost my voice at the end of last week's sermon, and you had to finish for me. And I wasn't sure it would hold up for a 234-page reading in less than 2 days. And Tim, thank you for the good advice about taking some honey with me. I actually kept downing it straight sometimes during the recording. But it went really well. We even ran a little ahead of schedule. And I mentioned this because it gives me the opportunity to talk again about the faithfulness of God and the importance of our prayers for each other and how God uses those prayers in ways we may not feel in the moment, we may not see, we may not think anything is happening. But, you know, the Bible often encourages us to remember what God has done. In several places, it talks about remember this, call it to mind. This was so much a practice of the Jewish people through history. And it is to continue to be part of our life and faith as Judeo-Christian believers. And as I sat there reading through this book that I wrote 8 years ago, I was reminded of God's faithfulness and how God had answered his prayers again and again and again. And here's a shot from the recording. I tried to find one of Bobby and me together, but I couldn't find it. Of Bobby, the sound engineer, I kept telling him, here's another answered prayer. Here's another one, and another. And there were times that I had to stop and compose myself because my voice broke. Not out of fatigue, but out of being so moved at what God had done that I couldn't get through it. Not that every prayer has been answered. There are several that haven't been yet, but there are so many of them that I kept seeing it. We just kept reading through and again and again and again. And I love what Samuel Prime, a Princeton Seminary grad long ago, who was involved in the 1857-1859 prayer revival, wrote a history of it, wrote about this. He said, your prayers, dear child of God, shall be answered. Some of them, perhaps, during your lifetime on earth, and all of them, certainly, during your lifetime in heaven. What Scripture says about this is that you and I never pray alone. Romans 8:27 affirms this. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, it tells us, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So the Spirit prays in us and with us and for us. And Jesus prays for us, pleading before the Father. And it is a powerful, beautiful work of God that you and I never pray alone. Because I'll tell you, there are so many times we don't get the words right, right? And all we can do is just take, you know, all of the emotion of the moment, whatever it may be, and just, oh, Lord, here it is, because he knows. Because speech is inadequate, right? I mean, Think of how many times we struggle just in life to get the words right. But we have a God who helps us pray on a deeper level than we can fully be aware of. And I love that about him. And that brings us to our scripture for today. My dear children, John writes, and by this time, John is toward the end of his life. He's like the last of the disciples left. He was, right? All the others died martyrs' deaths. He did of a kind in that he was exiled onto the Isle of Patmos, where he had this incredible vision of the revelation. And so he's writing to those who remain, my dear children, I'm writing this to you. By now he's older. So that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. In the chapter right before this, John talks about being real with God about our sinfulness. Just a few verses earlier, he says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Now, you may wonder, how does that phrase just, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins? It's not coming from the context of, well, God is just to forgive us our sins because I somehow deserve it. It is justice that comes out of his faithfulness to do what he said he will do. That's the important thing, that God loves us and keeps his promises. So he's faithful and just to what he has said. What he has said, he will do. And God wants us to agree with him about our sinfulness, not because he wants us to grovel or because he wants to put us down, just the opposite. He wants to reason with us and lift us to new understanding and new hope that we cannot find anywhere else. He doesn't want us to stay stuck in the same place. He loves us and wants to give us this new vision for life. Life, bigger than we've ever seen before, deeper than we've ever felt before, because it is his Spirit, the Spirit of the Creator God that moved over creation, that moves through us to make us anew and lift us into that place that we could only be in if he were at work within us. He makes everything new. And he touches us with a fresh measure of his kindness that makes us new every day as we come to him, and we can understand that we have a new identity. That's what Scripture says, right? The old is gone. The new has come. I'm not who I was. Regardless of what people may remember me like, regardless of what the adversary may tell me, no, that's not who I am. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And the beautiful thing about this is that as we come to Jesus, he's continually making us new. And John tells us that Jesus is the advocate who pleads our case before the Father. The advocate who pleads our case before the Father. Because while we have been made new, that is our truest, deepest self, still we struggle, as long as we're on earth, with the old sin nature. And we're in the process of growing, and oh, growth is possible. That's the beautiful thing. You know, You and I need never and should never. Well, that's just the way I am. Try praying that. You know? I mean, God is going to work with us in those places. But that's the beautiful thing, if you think about it. You know, yes, we have our proclivities, but oh, God works with us to bring us into genuine change. Genuine change. Think about what this means. Jesus is not so righteous that he would have nothing to do with us. He is so righteous that he does. He is so good that he wants to. He is that good. He is able to identify with us and empathize with us in an entirely perfect way. That's why the writer to the Epistle of the Hebrews writes, and by the way, I know the kids walked by, but I'm about to pull those blinds. We see, because we need to focus here. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has not been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, I know these truths are so familiar to us. Honestly, though we hear them many times, can we ever weary of hearing them too many times? These are truths we need to hear over and over again and go deeper into. Just think again about what John wrote about Jesus praying for us in light of what we just read. When you and I confess our sins, Jesus is standing right beside us before the throne of grace. I even think of it this way. You and I, you know, you and I are bowed before the Father, and Jesus is able to stand right there with his hand on our shoulder, pleading for us with this perfect righteousness. We, you and I can be honest and humble before God, knowing we are received because of Jesus, knowing that his forgiveness is deep and real. Real change is possible. All because of this precious relationship with him. Charles Wesley was thinking about this when he wrote, "Jesus speaks and pleads his blood. He disarms the wrath of God. Now my Father's mercies move. Justice lingers into love. There for me the Savior stands, shows his wounds and spreads his hands. God is love. I know, I feel. Jesus weeps and loves me still." Our sins may grieve the heart of God, but oh, he is love. And all the more reason, because we have one who is our advocate, to turn from the past and turn to him every day. You know, God has interesting ways of getting our attention. When I fly, I sometimes wear noise-canceling headphones because planes are loud. And I was working on the sermon on the plane on the way back, and as we started to descend, I reached down for the empty cup in front of me, and I knocked it off onto the floor. So I reached down to pick it up. I somehow jarred my phone that had the Bluetooth on, and music starts to come into my ears from a praise album I was listening to from Lauren Daigle. And suddenly these words gently, poetically reminded me of all that Jesus is. I don't have them up. I'm just going to read them. When I am a wasteland, you are the water. When I am a winter, you are the fire that burns. When I am a long night, you are the sunrise. When I am a desert, you are the river that turns to find me. What have I done to deserve love like this? What have I done to deserve love like this? I cannot earn what you so freely give. What have I done to deserve love like this? Hallelujah. Jesus saves us through no merit of our own, through nothing we have done. It is because of the breathtaking worth of all that He is that we are forgiven and made new. It is through His wounds and His blood shed for us on the cross that we are healed and given new life, new standing with God. His perfect love is the perfect remedy. How can you make right wrongs you have done? You can try, right? But so often the damage remains. How can you change the soul that has done them, that you know in your heart of hearts, in just the right circumstances, is capable of doing the same thing again? How can you scrub your soul and make it clean? The truth is, we can't. That's why God's word tells us all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. But there for me my Savior stands, shows His wounds, and spreads His hand. Oh, look to Him, because He looks to you and to me with such love. He is love, and in Him is our hope and every help, life in Him, forgiveness, and every good thing. Oh, come to Him, come to Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good, He tells us. May we run to Him now. May we bow our hearts and pray. Lord Jesus, You are the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. we praise you that you are. Oh, Lord, for your love that we could never earn, we praise you. Your love that sets us free. Your love that cleanses our souls. Your love that gives us new standing, right standing with God, so that we can cry out, Abba, Father. Lord, thank you. Thank you. This morning, as we've looked at these things, oh, have you received his love? Because, oh, he longs to pour it out on you. He longs for you to know it, to know that you are his. You are loved. Will you receive it this morning? It's why he went to the cross. And there conquered sin and conquered death and rose from the grave that he can lift us up to new life that starts here and lasts forever. Is that yours? Have you received it? He said, Scripture says of him, to as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons, the daughters, the children of God. We read earlier that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. He'll do what he's promised. If you come to him and say, yes, Lord, cleanse me. Oh, he will. If you place faith in him, hey, you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have all the answers. No one does. Not if they're honest. But oh, he comes to save. Will you ask him, Lord, save me? Because he will. He will. Oh, do it today. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We praise you. Let's continue to ponder these things and pray while we sing.